Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
Father, we are grateful and thankful. We thank you for this great blessing, opportunity to sit under your feet to hear your word. Holy Spirit, be our teacher. Speak to us. Change our minds. Change our hearts. We ask, O Lord, that we leave this place not the same as we came, but let our lives change. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you clap your hands together for the Lord one more time and sit on top of your enemy and turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 16 and verse number 1. John chapter 16 and verse number 1. We have been sharing in this service about offenses. We've been talking a lot about offenses, and I believe if you have been here during these few weeks, you have learned a lot about offenses and such a dangerous thing to be offended. It's such a dangerous thing, and we have talked a lot about it, and I believe that God has really spoken to us, and today we conclude this series of messages. Today will be the last of the series. And today, for a short time, I want us to talk about how to protect yourself from being offended. How many of you want to know how to protect yourself, to keep yourself from being offended? Hallelujah. The way to prevent yourself from being offended is not to be careful. That is not the way. It's not to not do things. It's not to stay away from the brethren. That is not how to protect yourself from being offended. John chapter 16, Jesus is telling us, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. These things I have told you, I have spoken to you, that you will not be offended." Say amen. Amen. Now, we have learned that offended people are people who are badly hurt. When someone is offended, it means the person is badly hurt. Jesus is saying, "These things I have spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." Amen. Amen. Offended people are hurting and smarting from things that have happened in their lives. They are languishing, anguishing, angry, hurting, in pain from experiences that they have had in their lives. Amen. Amen. Now, offense is unavoidable in our journey and in our walk with God. We cannot prevent offense from happening. Amen. In fact, there are several things that Jesus mentioned in a discourse, in some discussion with his disciples, that will protect us and protect you from becoming offended one day. Hallelujah. I just want you to understand something that, Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 7 that offense is inevitable. Are you listening? We cannot do anything to prevent offense from coming. There is nothing that you and I can do to prevent offense from coming as long as we live in this world. He says, woe unto the world because of offenses. For when we write, if you know a little English and they say for, it's not always means that it's for you. Isn't that so? But in an expression like this, it means because. It says, woe unto the world because of offenses. Why? Because it must needs be that offenses come. It's a necessary thing. It is going to happen. As long as we are in the world, it says offense will happen. It's inevitable. But I want you to understand here that Jesus did not say that everyone will be offended. I want you to really understand so that you don't walk away from here and feeling that I am offended, and even the scripture understands that I should be offended. You don't have to be offended. In fact, Jesus is saying, offense will come. But you, I have said certain things so that when the offense comes, you will not be offended. There are some things that happen that offend others. Seriously. But those things may not offend you. Are you listening? Now, Jesus is saying offense is such a dangerous thing that nothing should offend you when they happen. He says, I have said these things. I have spoken to you. I have said these things to you so that you will not be offended. Now, then it means, therefore, that the things that he has said must be the secret to not being offended. And so we must be interested in knowing those things. So if the first verse of chapter 16, he is saying that I have said these things so that you will not be offended, this is how he opens that chapter, then it means that the preceding chapters, the things that he said there are the secrets, are the keys to prevent you or to protect you from being offended when the offense comes. Isn't that so? And so we must take those things very seriously. Hallelujah. Offense is heading directly for you. You are targeted for offense. Offense will destroy the greatest Christian, the greatest loving Christian, the greatest pastor. Offense can destroy you. Offense can destroy the most faithful sister in the church. Hallelujah. Offense can make a turnaround of the activities of the most committed church member. Someone who is so committed in doing certain things, offense can put the person on a halt, that the person who is so energetic, full of the spirit and full of energy and full of desire and love for the things of God and doing them, offense can put a brake suddenly. One day, someone who has such love for the things of God, such commitment, you can just that moment decide, I'm not doing this anymore. And the result is because of offense. It's such a powerful, dangerous thing. Amen. So offense can derail someone from a course of getting to a higher level and a higher walk with God. Are you listening? It's a dangerous thing. Many Christians who are on their way to becoming greater servants of God, doing greater things for God, can easily derail. derail from their destinies. And the result is that you don't even serve God anymore as a result of offense. Wow. It's a dangerous thing. Offense can make someone with the nicest of voice not sing for God anymore. Not because you have developed a sore throat, but as a result of offense. Is somebody listening? Offense can make someone who is committed, and the person has taken it a responsibility and a duty to ensure that the house of God is always sparkling and shining, clean, decide and say that I will leave this place to be dirty all the time and I don't care anymore. And the result is because I'm offended. Because I'm offended. Offense can make someone who has such love for the people of God, love for the children of God, decide that I hate the children now because I disciplined your child and you offended me. And so for that matter, I have nothing to do with the children again. As a result of offense, I tell you, it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. Amen. So Jesus said clearly in John 16 verse 1 that he had told the disciples certain things that will protect them from falling away as a result of offense. Amen. And I believe these are things that will also help us. There are things that you need to hear, that you need to know, that you need to keep in your mind to prevent you from or protect you from getting offended when offense comes. Hallelujah. There are things that you can use to arm yourself, and all of us are arming our minds with certain realities about the future, certain realities about what can happen in the future, certain realities about believing in certain things that can happen, which will also cause stability in you, because Satan attacks you through offense. Amen. Satan can attack you as a result of offense. And so 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, 1 Peter 4 and 1, it says, "For as much then as Christ had suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that had suffered in the flesh had ceased from sin." You have the New Living Translation? Look at that. It says, quickly, "So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had." Christ suffered physical pain. He had a certain attitude. So you must also learn it and have the same type of attitude that he had, and be ready to suffer too. You must be ready to suffer too. "For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin." I tell you, you have finished with sin. So arm yourself. Arm yourself with knowledge. Arm yourself with the same attitude that Christ had when he faced this physical pain and suffering. Hallelujah. No one is offended by good things. No one. No one is offended when your wedding was nicely organized and all the people came on time and the pastor was on time waiting for you. You were late for 2 hours. They waited for you. And they were not offended. You were very happy that they were also not offended.
And they organized a beautiful service for you. The reception was beautiful. No one gets offended like that. No one is offended or affected negatively when good things are happening to us. It is when the negative experiences are happening. Negative experiences in ministry. Negative experiences in the church. It is when these things occur that people's minds begin to change. Amen. People can do a U-turn when they have experienced some negative things. Someone who is going in this direction full of love can make a U-turn filled with hatred because of offense. Amen. Am I speaking to someone? Jesus wanted his disciples to expect and anticipate the horror of hatred, the horror of persecution, the rampant demonic activities that we experience. It will change the atmosphere and cause a bad feeling in the church when these things are happening. Hallelujah. Amen. People leave the church. People abandon ship. They turn and become traitors because of all these type of experiences. Bad experiences always offend people. Do you know that? Bad experiences always offend people. People get offended as a result of bad experience. Hallelujah. Amen. Is somebody listening to me?
Yes.
You don't like the message?
Yes.
I'm coming closer to speak to you. I say people with bad experiences, they get offended. Amen. When people have bad experiences, they become offended. They become angry. They change. Hallelujah. Are you listening? When people have, when things are working out, when everything is working out, nobody leaves. Are you listening? When things are working out, everybody is happy. But when certain things start working negatively, then you see how people change. Hallelujah. Matthew 24 and verse 10. Matthew 24 and verse 10. It says, and then shall many, say many.
Many.
Say many.
Many.
And then shall many be offended. Then shall many be offended. Joanna, many be offended. Many of us will be offended. It says, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. I tell you, when people are happy, they love one another. When people are happy, they keep the secrets. When people are happy, they don't give you out. They don't tell. But when they are offended, Ellen, when people are offended, me, when people are offended, they betray one another. They betray, they give out one another. They tell everything that you have told them before. They tell the secrets. The things that they are the only ones that know that you have shared with them. Amen. You see, no one knows that you have this rash that doesn't go away in a certain area. No one knows. But there's one person that knows. There's one person. When you are standing in a certain way, you know that it's itching. That person knows. That one person knows. I'm preaching. You have shared that with that one person. But when that one person is offended, he gathers five people in the corner. And then she would tell them, you watch. You see how she's standing. You do see how she's standing. Whenever you see him standing like that, or you see her standing like that, the thing that I mentioned to you, the thing that I told you, it has come. It has come. I said, when people are offended, they blurt out the secret. It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. It turns a trusted friend to betray you because of offense. And so Jesus said, I have said certain things to you so that when things happen that offends people, when offensive things happen, that you do not be offended. Because when you're offended, your behavior is not good. When you're offended, your spirit is not a good spirit. Amen. You don't like my message. I'm preaching a good message. So we want to know some of the things that Jesus said to protect us. How many of you want to know? Jesus armed the minds of the disciples to protect them from becoming offended. And we must believe in those sayings. We must believe in those sayings that they are truths that will protect us and save us from offense. So number one, I'm going to give you just a few. Number one, expect an experience of pressure and trouble, and don't let it offend or affect you. So number one, expect an experience of pressure and trouble, and don't let it offend or affect you. It is a reality. I am sharing with you something not to make you not be offended so that you are happy and you are relaxed. I am sharing something to you, and I want you to see it as something that if you allow to happen, it's a dangerous thing to you. It makes you a very dangerous person that can change you. And so I want you to take this very seriously. Are you listening? So John chapter 16 and verse 33. John chapter 16 and verse 33. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Relax. I have overcome the world. It means the followers of Jesus, Christians, in the face of tribulation, he's saying, relax. Now, the word tribulation means trouble. It means pressures. Life pressures. It means difficulties, burdens, and anguish. Anguish. So it's important to expect these things and survive them when they happen, when pressures are happening, when situations that bring difficulties are happening. You ought to know that they are those type of situations that are ready to bring offense. And you need to relax. And I want you to believe that you can relax. Because your Savior is saying, these things, they are from the world. He says, in the world, these things are the things that you experience. But I have overcome the world. It means you are beyond pressures. You are beyond difficulties. You are beyond anguish. I want you to understand that he's not saying they will not happen. Not that they will not come. But when you see them in the face of difficulties, when you are experiencing pressures, when you are experiencing tribulations, take ease. Relax. Are you listening? Something is prepared for you to go through it. Hallelujah. Because it's amazing when pressures are happening and difficulties are happening, what it does to people. Many people change and become like monsters when they experience pressures, trouble, and difficulty in life. They change. Jesus predicted tribulation for his disciples and warned them not to change, not to turn around. When you are experiencing difficulties, don't change. Don't turn around. When pressures are happening, don't change. When the marriage becomes difficult, don't change. When the children are not coming, when the childbirth is not happening, don't change. Don't let the difficulties change you. Amen. Because these things will make you change. And when you change, it brings offense. And when it brings offense, it brings hatred. This is how people leave marriages. Hallelujah. He says, do not turn into a traitor because of difficulties or challenges. People become disloyal when they are offended. Some people cannot take pressure. Some people cannot take challenges. Some people cannot tolerate changes in life. Amen. Is somebody listening? Some people cannot take financial challenges. When they experience financial difficulty, they change. People who are loving and committed. I mean, a few years ago, people have risen up to, people who are committed sons of the ministry. Committed sons with higher levels. And anointed servants of God. Financial difficulties, fear of the future, tribulations about insurance that my life is secured. This fear, these things brought changes in these people that they become traitors. And Jesus is saying, they will happen. They will come. No matter who you are, whether you are anointed, whether you are powerful, whether you have a great ministry, no matter who you are, these things will happen. You will experience these things. But let them not bring offense in you. Don't let it change you. Because when they change you, when they offend you, someone that you sat and ate with, someone who took you places, someone that you called father, becomes such an enemy that you take to war to destroy the person because of offense. So Jesus says, I'm saying these things to you, that when you see the difficulties, when you see that insurance is not even paid, when you see that financially things are not working, when you see the pressures of life, you are approaching certain age, but you don't own this, you don't have this, you don't have that. Don't let it change you. You are getting to certain age. There's some, oh man. Shabandori and darabazode. Age brings such pressure. That you are aging, you are at this age, and you don't have this, you don't have that, you don't have this. You become offended at many things. Are you listening? Yeah.
The next one, you want more? An experience of hatred from the world will offend you and affect you. An experience of hatred from the world will offend you and affect you. John 15, verse 18. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So expect it." Now, hatred is a horrible thing. Hatred is a terrible feeling to experience. Hatred is the most extreme negative feeling you can have from a fellow human being. To know that someone hates you, it's not a nice thing. When you hear that someone hates you, it's such a negative thing. Amen.
Amen.
Do not be surprised that you have these extreme reactions from people just because of being a Christian or just because of who you are. You will experience hatred. People will hate you for many other reasons. Hallelujah. Bishop writes here, he says, "I know quite a few people who hate me because of my ministry. The mention of my name stirs up extreme anger and hatred towards me and my church. However, their hatred does not put me off or make me stop what I'm doing in the ministry. I wish they didn't hate me." Everyone, no one wants people to hate you. You don't want people to hate you. He says, "I wish they didn't hate me, but I have had to get used to the idea of people hating me." You have to get used to it. It is very uncomfortable feeling, indeed, to be hated by people. It is an uncomfortable feeling. Don't let the rise of hatred destroy your ministry or put you off. Hallelujah. Don't let the rise of hatred, because that is exactly what the enemy wants. To hear that they hate you. They hate you for this thing that you do. They hate you because this is how you do things. They hate you. And Jesus is saying, these things will happen. They hated me also. So know that they will hate you. They will hate you for doing good. They will hate you for the good that you have done. They will hate you for being a good person. Jesus was hated, and he had no sin in him. And he says that, "Look at me. They hated me first. So expect that you'll be hated." When you know this, when you are aware of this, and you hear that this group, they have gathered, and they are friends, and they hate you, it shouldn't bother you anymore. Because you'll be offended if you let it bother you. And Jesus is saying, it's a common thing. It's a common thing in the church. It's a common thing amongst the people that follow you. It's a common thing among Christians. It's a common thing among the people that I preached to and I fed and I ministered to and I healed. I did good to them. It's a common thing that they will hate you. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. Amen.
Amen.
The next one. An experience of rejection will offend you and affect you. An experience of rejection. Amen.
Amen.
An experience of rejection. I tell you, listen, offense is a very dangerous thing. Offense is a very dangerous thing. When you are offended,
it changes one beautiful relationship into a very ugly one. When you're offended. When you're offended, it can make one's loving, sweet person become disrespectful, angry, feeling violated. It will make you such vicious, diabolic, say things that would have otherwise never come out of your mouth concerning that particular person. But offense can bring all of this about. Pressures of losing your job, it can destroy a marriage. When you experience these pressures, it says when you see these things, when you are experiencing financial difficulties, pressures, when you see one has lost the job, one is not bringing in anymore, and the pressures are there, don't be angry in the house. Don't now have a different attitude and the mood. It's a thing that will happen. But don't let it bring offense. Don't let it bring offense. Don't let it bring offense. Hallelujah. Don't let it bring offense. Don't let it change you. Hallelujah. Are you listening? So the next one, it says, an experience of rejection will offend you and affect you. John 16, verse 2. John 16, verse 2. He says, these things, you see, I'm telling you, he says, I have said these things that ye be not offended. That when the offense come, you will not be offended. Amen. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. People will persecute you and kill you, and they think that they are doing the service of God. Rejection is an experience of being on the outside and looking on at a group that seemed to be specially favored. Are you listening? That is rejection. When you are looking on from the outside and another group that seems to be specially favored and you are not a part of it, they reject you. They refuse for you to be a part of it. It's a very painful thing. Amen. It's a painful situation. Hallelujah. It's a terrible experience. When you are not wanted, when you feel that people only tolerate you, it's a terrible experience. Rejection is one of the commonest causes of offense. Are you listening? It's one of the most common causes of offense. Rejection. And I want you to understand this, that in the world, you will experience rejection. Are you listening?
Yes.
Listen to me very carefully. I said, in the world, you will experience rejection all the time. All the time. But the reason why you are still persisting is because you have armed yourself. You have armed yourself. Many of you experience rejection at your jobs because of the way you speak, because of your color, because of where you come from, because of the level of your education. Are you listening? Because of your job title, because of what you do, you feel rejected. There are certain places you can't sit there to eat because you don't belong there. Are you listening? There are certain groups you can't join their conversation, even if you have something great to contribute. But you have not left. You persist because you have armed yourself and you are conscious of this. You are aware of this. You are in a school. You feel rejected. They don't want you there. And you can feel it. You can see it. At any moment, they are watching you closely. They are watching you closely and closely that they will remove you. But you tread cautiously. You walk wisely. You armed yourself because you know that you need to be here. You need to finish this. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? So Jesus is saying, in the world, you'll be rejected. You'll be rejected, but arm yourself. That the rejection will not cause offense for you now to take another turn. Just as the rejection has not caused an offense for you to say, I quit the school. Would you do that? You must steel your heart to experience rejection over and over and over again. Bishop writes, he says, I smile to myself as I write this because I can think of many different groups to which I belong, but they don't really want me. He says, I can think of many groups that I belong. He belongs to these groups, but he knows that they don't really want me. I feel like an outsider and an unwanted foreigner in many situations. It is a pity that we should ever have to suffer rejection. It is sad. Do not let any feelings of being an outsider direct your ministry or your Christian walk. Do not let any such feeling. Don't let a small group that forms and rejects you make you now say, I don't come to God anymore. That is why Jesus is saying, I'm saying these things so that you don't be offended. The offense will come, but I have overcome the world. Just as he sought to not let these things offend him, he has seen how Jesus has overcome the world for him. And he has belonged to these groups where he felt not belonging. He has stayed there with all the possibilities of offense. And he has calmed himself, just as Jesus overcame the world. Now, the world has received him. I say, your master, your Lord, he says he has overcome the world. Amen. He has overcome the world. And truly, if we will look closely, we are all outsiders. Everywhere we are all outsiders. All groups. You have also your own group that there are other outsiders. You have your own group. You speak in a certain way and in a certain language that others feel outside also. Hallelujah. Remember that Jesus was rejected more than any other person by an astonishing and an incredulous decision ever to be taken by human beings. Jesus was rejected by the Jewish society of Jerusalem and chose Barnabas. They preferred Barabbas. Jesus must have looked on with amazement. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? As Jesus was there and this criminal Barabbas was there and looking at the people that he fed, the people that he healed, the people that surrounded him, the people that followed him, traveled with him for healing. And there were times that the Bible says he healed everyone that was sick. And he looked at all these people among them who could not walk, and they are walking now, standing there. Them who could not see, blind people, and they were standing there. And all of these people, when they asked, would you like that I release this Jesus or this Barabbas? And these people who he had fed, who he had preached to, who he had ministered to, lifted up their voices and they said, we choose the criminal Barabbas. Crucify this Jesus. And he looked at them with amazement. And he said, if they did this to me,
one who knew no sin, then what about you? Then what about you? What about you? They will reject you also. Amen. The last one. Let me give you one last one and then we close. Invasion of demonic activities. Being conscious and being aware of the invasion of demonic activity. John 14 and verse 30. You remember? Jesus is saying all these things in these chapters. That I'm saying all these things to you that you be not offended when you see them. John 14:30 says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. The prince of this world. The prince of this world is the devil with all his cohorts and his demons. He says, he cometh, but he has nothing in me. Hallelujah. So strong demonic attacks usually cause a fallout to occur. Strong demonic attacks. Expect an onslaught of demonic activities. When there is a strong work of demons in your church, it will cause many things to happen, and one of them is offense. When there's a strong demonic onslaught, when demons are attacking the church, one of the things that you will see commonly is offense. Amen. It says, as the demons multiply in the church, there is strife, there is confusion, and every evil work. So whenever you notice that there is strife, there are quarrels, there are confusion, you must understand that there are evil spirits. Demons are present and they are stirring things up. They are stirring things up. Whenever you see, whenever you experience that people are angry, group of people are building up. You see, he says there's a stir up. It's a demonic attack. And that how it happens is it just targets one person. It just targets one person and that person gets offended. Are you listening? That person gets offended. And offense brings hatred. And then the demon starts stirring up. And so this offended person now begins to stir up others to be offended. And so you see group building. And whenever you start to see that, whenever you are seeing that a group of people are building up, and they all have a common agenda, and the agenda is hatred and anger, evil spirits are working. It's a demonic spirit that has entered the church. Evil spirits are working. When you see a group of people, now they are building up, and they say, we won't sing. Me too, I won't sing anymore. Me too, I don't sing anymore. And you see, listen, I'm preaching a good message. I want you to listen. I'm preaching, I think I should come to the choir. When you see that, okay, and then you see that this group, they don't sing, and they are friends, and they don't have respect for the choir leader. They all behave the same way. They have the same attitude. It's an evil spirit. I'm preaching to you that you be delivered. That you be delivered. Ah, I said be delivered. Amen. It's an evil spirit. Listen, you have to be spiritual. You have to be spiritual. You don't assume that it's myself. It's us. It's an evil spirit that has entered and it uses one person. And it begins a stir up. You see a group of people, they don't pay tithe. But the tithe cry, why do they use the tithe for? And we pay tithe. Why? media these days. I can't, you know. It's not always that. You see? Oh, so all this while you've not been paying tithe. Yeah. You see, and that is how come you find group of people with the same spirit, group of people with the same behavior, group, people who were once committed, people who were once loving with such sweet spirit, one who were bubbly in the church, suddenly they cool down. Suddenly they have certain type of behavior. And then you realize that you can identify that spirit in this one, and that one, and that one, and that one. And when you look closely, they are together. It's a group. I say it's a spirit. It's a spirit. I am preaching a good word. Be delivered. Begins a stir up. Because sometimes one of the things that you will see is that you try to figure out, you know, you try to figure out what has happened. What have I done? What has happened to this one? What has happened to our relationship? And you cannot pinpoint anything. It's a demonic activity that is happening. The Bible says that the madman of Gadara, he was cutting himself. He was cutting himself. He was destroying himself, and cutting, with stones, day and night. But he wasn't feeling it. It's a demonic activity. When the devil is at work, what he's doing, let me tell you something. One of the things that you have to understand is that the activities of the devil will never do you any good. Maybe let me come here because these people, I don't think they... Listen. The activities of the devil do not do you any good. I'm saying it again. The demonic activities, they do not do you any good because they are never intended to do you any good. They are never intended to make you feel good. So you see, when these things start, when these things are building up, and then you feel that we are this, we are that. You see, it's intention, and it's the same thing, offense, when it comes. Even a couple that is supposed to take a very major and important decision today, that is going to define your life. Decision that you need to take tonight for an answer tomorrow. Because of offense, you are not talking. You will not make that decision because of offense. I say, when the devil's activities are working, it has no plans to do you good. You feel that I am so right because of what you have done that I have to be angry, I have to be offended and not talk to you. But the devil's intention is that he said that you cannot be two to make this decision together tonight to define your life for the future. He brings an offense and you don't talk. That is the intention. And you don't talk. But the decision will be made. And it's not a favorable one. The Bible says one can put away 1,000, but two can put to flight 10,000. Now tell me, if you were the devil and you can assign 1,000 demons for one person, and then you need 10,000 when they are together, which one would you choose? Which one would you choose? So when the offense comes, and you are angry and you are forming the group, you are cutting yourself from precious relationships. You are cutting yourself from precious counseling.
You are cutting yourself from precious people, people with good hearts. Because of offense, you don't talk to them anymore. People who will help you make precious decisions. People whose guidance you need so badly. You are so offended. I don't talk to this person anymore. Because of offense. People that you run to for counseling. People that you call. People that have heart for you and can listen to you. And you know. But because you are offended, you say, I'll talk to you no more. The devil is wicked. I said, we rise up to overcome the devil. I said, we rise up to overcome the devil. We rise up to overcome offenses. We know your secrets. We have found you. We have identified you. You are the reason for the breakups. You are the reason for the divisions. We have found you and we rise up. We join our hearts and we lift up our voices and we say, we overcome you. We have identified your source. We have identified your works. We are not ignorant of your devices anymore. No more. We will not walk away from this precious relationship because of offense. No more. We will receive wise counseling. We will continue to enjoy wise counseling, beautiful relationships. I mean, the devil can make relationship that we once were meeting together, we are eating together, we are laughing, and we are happy, and we are enjoying ourselves. He can make it such that now we are enemies. We have become enemies such that when I see you and I see you coming, I turn around that I don't see you. I see you, I don't see you. No matter what happened to cause you to become like that, it has caused you to be offended. And Jesus is saying, when anything looks like offense, when it comes, let it not offend you. Because its intention is to destroy you. Rise up to your feet and let us bring the service to a close. Father, we are grateful, we are thankful. Spirit of God, we thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for restoring our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for all the tricks that the enemy has brought to separate us, to destroy our relationships. Lord, thank you for revealing him and identifying him. We are grateful. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, for restoring relationships today. Thank you, Lord, for restoring our hearts. Oh God, we did not know that these were the works of the enemy. But Lord, thank you for revealing him. We give you glory. We give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Now with all eyes closed, every head bow. If you are here this afternoon, you are not born again. You have not given your life to Christ. You want to receive Jesus as your Savior. You are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. If that is your prayer this afternoon, I want you to lift up your right hand and I'll say a short prayer with you. You are saying, Pastor, pray with me. Perhaps someone invited you to church. Perhaps you have been in a church for a long time, but you know in your heart that if you were to die today, you are not certain, you are not sure of where you will be. Beloved, the times are near. Heaven and earth are coming so close. If you are here this afternoon, you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone here like that? You want to receive Jesus as your Savior? Anyone here like that? You want to give your life to Christ? Is there anyone here like that? Anyone here like that? Lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Anyone? Okay. Why don't you all join me and let's say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Please wash me with your blood. Lord Jesus,
I welcome you into my heart. Be my Lord, be my Master, be my Savior. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen. You are the word
of the King. We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.